If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city didn't save me.
How are we going to do this for the time?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
I'm from the future.
Because you can inspire
me. My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of
it. You two will become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you will. Heroes. You have failed this city.
What is up, guys? Welcome. You are listening to DC on R&D, the Arrow edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile. Just go through, find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher. Search DC on R&D. And once you get there, leave us a review. It helps the show out a lot. We're also on Spotify, too, if you wanted to check us out there. I am your show host, Ryan Denton, and in the studio with me is Bobby D.
Hello, hello.
And today we will be breaking down and discussing Arrow Season 7, Episode 21, Living Proof. We are T-minus 11 episodes left of Arrow.
One for the season, 10 for 11 for the show.
Ugh. I mean, like, it's rough, dude.
It is what it is. I mean, it's we can't expect these things to last forever.
I don't think anyone that would be in their right mind to think that any of this would last forever. But I also feel like, you know, seven seasons, I don't know. I feel like there were things that I wanted that never really came to fruition. So,
I think that's more of a CW problem now.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree.
I think 100%. The network has changed its ways and.
I think they're looking at a lot of this stuff differently than what they did when they first came out.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think, too, we're in a day and age of all these other streaming services pumping out shows that, you know, on their own streaming service, they can get away with a lot of things.
Yeah, definitely.
So
but I know for a fact we're seeing that 100% on the DCU.
Right. Doom Patrol.
Yeah,
you know,
Titans.
Swamp Thing's coming out.
Yep,
Swamp Thing. It's coming.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's jump into the episode here. This one was directed by Gordon Verhall, written by Oscar Balderrama and Sarah Tarkov, who Bobby and I have actually met in person at San Diego Comic-Con.
They took pictures with us. They were nice.
They were incredibly nice people. So let's jump into the biggest thing. And I know Bobby and I were having a conversation about this. I know I'm pretty sure Angelica has chimed in on this too as well. One of the things that we've seen this year is the flash forwards, right? And to some point, they've been okay. I'm going to use the word okay. I don't think they've been bad by any means, but they haven't been great, and they haven't been terrible. So okay works, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like – but I think this episode really
– It took away.
There was an Achilles heel to it, and I think
definitely.
It was this episode.
I 100% agree, especially being that we're getting towards the end of a season. There's a lot of risk involved in the end of seasons.
100% risk.
Because and I think
now,
none of that's there because of the flash forwards.
Right. And I think exactly, dude. I think with this episode in particular, it showed the downside of the flash forwards. And here's why. Flash forwards ruin any suspense in a show, especially when you get towards the end of the season. Because now... For example, when the whole team got arrows put in them, they didn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Because you knew they're all going to be alive. Now, I also understand that the whole thing was in Oliver's head anyways.
But still,
you're taking away suspense from the show that, in other words, could make me go, holy shit.
Well, yeah. And I think the holy shit for a moment for me was the team being trapped in the warehouse, of course.
Right.
Even last week, we knew none of them were going to die when it blows up.
Right.
We know that in the future, we have Renee, Roy, New Canary.
Yep.
So none of them would die. The only people that are at risk right now are Diggle and Oliver. Now, for me, I think this was the biggest heartache. I'm watching this and I'm putting on my, you know, analyst brain for TV shows.
Right. You're doing your due diligence watching.
Yeah. And when Roy volunteers to jump into the gas.
Right.
I'm like, of course, as long as Dickel doesn't do it, everybody's still alive in the future. We've seen them.
Right.
So there was no suspense there of cutting to a commercial break and going, oh, shit, they just killed Roy. He made the ultimate sacrifice. And for storytelling purposes, it would have made complete sense.
100%.
He just put the whole team at risk the week before because of his bloodlust.
Yep.
And you could see that man feeling the guilt of putting the family at risk. And now the family might die if somebody doesn't do something. Let me go in there and pull my best Batman Arkham game. You know, and clear the gas out of the room.
It would have made total sense.
And at least, like, I'm not saying you had to kill him, but again, for the 2 minutes and 30 seconds or whatever it is between commercial breaks, I would have had that suspense, or whenever they showed him reappearing, you know, on the bar, we would have had that ache in our heart of, oh my God, especially going again to the second to last episode of the season.
Yep.
11 episodes left in the show. People will not be coming back next year. Same thing with Felicity. We know Felicity's done in one episode. But right. We know she's in the future, so it's not like she has any risk of dying. She still has to have the kid. She has to do this. And we weren't getting that before. And it was weird, as much as, like, if you've been a fan for, you know, the five seasons we've been doing this, I think, four or five, whatever it's been now, we've always kind of like, all right, some of the flashbacks were horrible.
They were bad. I mean, we've constantly talked about that, like the flashbacks.
But they didn't ruin anything from the current storyline.
No,
it was always a teaching moment.
It was leading Oliver to a point where he learned something, and then we see him learn it, and then in the present time, we see him use what he's learned.
Use it, yeah. And I just think we're missing out on that. And it's, I don't know, maybe it would have been a better storyline for the future if it was just, as I've deemed them, Young Justice, you know, the friends and family of the current vigilante squad, you know, the current Team Arrow going out in the future to try to clear their parents' name and be a backdoor pilot or something that way. You know, it would have helped out. And just having even, you know, the Archer program and all that stuff that Felicity's work on, to see that go kind of to the bad side, and then having Mia and William trying to redeem their parents' legacy by freeing the shit up. I don't know.
No, I mean, you're on to something here, dude. I feel like we've had this conversation with the flashbacks where we thought some of them were a little goofy, right? We didn't like certain ones. But I think this is a whole nother problem. And I think with these flash forwards, this entire problem came to foot here at this episode.
Yeah.
It killed all the suspense of everything that was going on. And I think that's the problem with doing any type of dual storyline. Especially flash forward storyline.
Yeah. Flashbacks we could see. Okay, right. Whatever.
Makes sense.
It's not hurting. It's a way to show, you know, without having some kind of long, you know, drawn out exposition of how,
right.
You know, of us going, that's bullshit. How the hell did he learn how to start fire with a sock and a stick? You know, and it's like, oh, look, he got that on the island. Cool. You learned some skills. Good for you, sir.
I don't know, man. I don't know how you stop.
And it, like, you think about it. If you look at the storyline this year and you look at the Slade storyline.
Right.
You're almost on the same thing. You have, like, these things happening, you know, here and then the present. And you're watching these storylines somehow merge. But they merged in a timeline where the flash forwards were going, our flashbacks were going to the present. With flash forwards, it's not like the present's ever going to catch up to the flash forward.
Right, because it's always in the future.
It's always in the future. So it's not like, you know, we're not going to jump ahead. And I don't know. It's just not a...
It's a weird thing.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah. I think ultimately, dude, like...
I don't think people are breaking it down like this.
No, and I think the thing is, like, we're going to get them in the finale. So like,
well, yeah, I think Beth Schwartz put out a quote saying that it's they're considering this a dual season finale,
which I just
where both storylines are gonna somehow come to some, you know, huge end.
I don't know how I feel about that, man. I just am I being a little too like.
See, okay, so let me go back to my theory here. Even if like we went to them without the current Team Arrow being all old and crusty.
Okay.
And they were to solve and clear the name of the people. Oliver's doing the same fucking thing right now. Technically, you know, the thing went out and they know that Roy made the thing or made the killed those guards. And the rest of the Team Arrow sat there and fucking lied. And they could fucking finish with the kids clearing the name of the mom and the father, you know, and then Oliver doing the same thing for technically his family, clearing their names, and then he runs off as a vigilante.
Mm.
Right?
That, yeah, I mean, okay, all right.
But that doesn't work when you have what they're doing. I think they just kind of screwed up the storyline just a little bit. It could have been a little bit tighter and it might have made a difference.
I mean, I don't disagree with that, dude, at all. Ah, man, it's just weird. I just, knowing there's 11, I don't know if I'm being like,
you're stuck on the T minus 11.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know if that's making me be a little more nitpicky towards this. I don't know, man. I just feel like maybe that's making me feel the way I am. I mean, I know that. We clearly have come to the conclusion, right, that this was the downfall to, you know, the flash forwards. But I think it's hard for me to look at this and not know that there's 11 episodes left and like be okay with it. You know, I don't know. I'm probably looking at it way too much in a way that I'm heartbroken that our main show's canceled.
Well, I mean,
the real question here is there going to be any type of payoff with these? Like,
I don't know what they could do in the flash forwards that's going to make me just be
go,
like,
oh my God.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Oh my God, it's so amazing.
I mean, I assume that it's going to be destructive next week.
Oh yeah, it has to be, right?
On both sides.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But I don't know if I buy into like, well, let me get my hacker friend from the past that stole the code that screwed everything up to begin with to come help me destroy it. And Felicity knocked down her, you know, her accounts and all that stuff. So,
right, froze her accounts and stuff, yeah.
I think the flash forwards are just losing it. It, you know, maybe Felicity dies in the future and that's why she goes away. I mean, I don't know, but. I just don't know what they could do with that. And just some of the convoluted stuff they've done between all the Diggles and all that and how they tie that all together with the Deathstroke gang and all the things that they've somewhat introduced this season. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there's going to be a big payoff here.
I don't disagree, dude. I think this is going to be pretty anticlimactic. And I hate to say that. I hate to say that.
Yeah, at least, you know, and we'll after the break, we'll get into the future. I mean, the present timeline, you know, there I could see some potential with the struggles with the characters. But here, I just don't know. There's no risk there. It's just like, all right, they're doing stuff.
They're just doing stuff, man. Whatever, feller. Like, it's funny, but it's kind of true. Ah, it's a bummer. Anyways. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into Tommy and Oliver and a couple other things. But first, quick break.
Oh, sorry about the limo. Love the wheelchair. Might I suggest motorized?
Free. Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy. And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it, no free stuff. That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
It's apparently
the whole fabric of society, so long as they and their weird way of doing sex is legitimized. That's what they want.
Their weird way of having sex or doing sex. I mean, gay folk, they're not aliens. They're not from Trisomian 21. They're human beings. They have sex the same way we do. They don't mind meld in order to fuck.
Now then, they don't
place their fingertips together and they're orgasming. The way these, I mean, Thomas.
Oh, Jesus, he's in the studio.
Thomas, I mean, the way the gays sign those leases for the latest Kia excursion. I mean, it's madness. The way they do those leases and buy those homes. And
you mean with the signature the same way everyone else does?
Their credit ratings are just exuberantly high for people.
From a lack of divorce.
It's true. I mean, they live a better life. They have more disposable income than the rest of us. But good golly, they're going to ruin society. If anything, we can learn a little bit about economics and the life savings from the gay community.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
This is Star Wars from the Butter Tank Exclusive.
That's operation.
However, hey, we don't want to miss it, because what if it ends up being true? No matter how fake it may be, Amidala coming back to life, Lando suddenly having a daughter because someone's also black like him. I mean, let's forget the subtle racism of that.
Because everyone who's black is related to Lando.
They're not, Dave. They're not. You mean all black people in the universe is not connected to Lando?
Well, remember, there are people out there that still say Finn, the big surprise is going to be Finn is related to Lando.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, guys, did you guys not learn anything from watching Get Out? I mean, casual racism is the worst form of racism.
It is.
It's when you don't even realize you're being racist, right? I hope it's not just a cameo. Like, if they're going to bring Carl Weathers and give him a fair shot, give him something to sink his teeth in. Let's see Carl Weathers, you know, play the role of the lifetime and finally shake off the Apollo Creed funk.
He's so charismatic.
What if he's related to Lando? I mean, what if he's...
I tried to stay away from that.
No, I'm just saying, what if Apollo Creed's like Lando's brother?
Because he's black.
Well, yeah, according to some people, all black people are related in Star Wars. I think he might end up being Finn's father and Lando's brother. That means Finn is Lando's nephew.
What happens if they actually do that?
I'm probably going to throw my popcorn at the screen. I'll be like, oh, you
son of a bitch.
You sons of bitches.
Excitingly good time. Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Bacta Tank. That is to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
All right, guys, we're back. In this segment here, we're going to talk about something we talked about last week. Tommy Merlin makes an appearance on this episode.
He's always with Oliver.
Oh, man. That's right in the fields, dude. Right in the fields. He's always there. You have to say it like that.
Like,
Anyways, Did you, I mean, clearly you had to know this was a, like, in his head, right? He doesn't just show up.
In a blown up building?
In a blown up building. There's
in regular clothes?
In regular clothes. And I guess I was kind of bummed about that. But at the same time, I was like, okay, this has got to be some kind of, you know, in his head kind of.
Struggle,
right. And we've seen Oliver struggle before, you know, just in general with everything that's going on. So this was a pretty interesting, like, call back to someone he knows, right? Kind of the same thing with the shadow.
Yeah.
The shadow visions that he used to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Tommy, I think with Shadow, it was different. With Tommy, it's like, okay, you know, this is different. This one means something.
Well, and at least with this one, he's giving sound advice from a familiar face that he should be able to follow no matter what.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, would you have bought the stuff that Tommy was spitting if it wasn't from Tommy to Oliver?
I think the only other person that I think it would have been, it would have made sense. His dad, maybe? Maybe. I just don't know who else you could put in that role to say the things that he said to come across correct. To come across, I guess correct's not the right word. To come across,
for us to buy it.
That's what I'm looking for. So maybe his dad, maybe, but Tommy makes sense.
He'd been through the shit.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's not going to be Diggle because he's not in the room, right? Because Diggle would be about the only other person, I think, besides his dad that could talk some sense into Oliver, yeah. Right? So to have Tommy be there, it made sense. But I love what he was saying, dude. You know, break the cycle of lies and hate. Dude, this whole show's built on lying.
The whole CW Arrowverse.
The whole goddamn Arrowverse is lying, dude. What a great line. Is that like a cheap shot at themselves with that line? Like, holy shit, dude, that was so good.
Well, that and it's just, you know, Oliver, you don't have to fall. And I think we got that at the beginning of the year. And it's hard to think back that long because for some reason this season seems like it's lasted forever. But you think about the beginning of the year to where, you know, talking with, you know, the prison psychologist and stuff that.
Right.
And, you know, in the past, we've seen things of you don't have to kill because of your dad, you know, admit to who you are, do these things, you know, and all these people have tried to tell these things to Oliver and it's never gotten through. And obviously, Tommy seems to be the right person.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, I totally agree. And I loved that line of like break the cycle of lies and hate. And the other one, you've got a shot at something we never had, a clean slate, which means what, I guess, knowing there's a lot of episodes left, what does that mean? Because it has to have some type of warrant on what's coming forward, right?
You think that this is going to be his like, I have to get away and do something bigger.
I think so.
I mean, I think the tough thing with Arrow is we know that he's made a promise to, you know, for the Crisis.
Right. We don't know exactly what it is yet, but there is something there, right?
There is something major there that he doesn't believe that he's a hero and wants to sacrifice himself. So you know, maybe this is those things and, you know, that term, that the clean slate type thing of him being on the side of the law, it's not for him to kill
right.
his sister, which in my head, I mean, I've been saying that for 10 weeks. He's got to kill his sister, you know, not 10 weeks. It's a long time, but you know what I mean?
I know where you're going.
That the only way out is him killing his sister and then being on the run. And I still believe that. And when he shot in the stomach, you know, I know we talked a little bit about it. I was like, oh, fuck, he killed her.
That was a good moment.
I mean, again, until they showed everybody else around him being with arrows in him, then I'm like, all right, well, okay, this is obviously some kind of hallucination because all those people are still alive.
Right.
And they weren't there to begin with.
Which is, again, well, that was a whole nother thing in the first segment. But I think with this, I just don't know what the whole clean slate means, I guess. But I'm, Maybe it is. Maybe you're right, dude. Maybe it is the whole on the run, you know, deal. Maybe that is 100% it. But I think with, you know, with what Tommy was saying and where he was going with it, you know, I mean, he was his old self at one point, right? If I need to be as ruthless to her as she was to my father, so be it.
Yeah.
Bye, Tommy. Like, that's old Oliver right there, right? That's like,
yeah, I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. I'm putting an arrow in her. And it's like, whoa. That's aggressive. But that's Oliver. I mean, that's, we've seen him do it, right? It wouldn't be the first time we've seen him do that. So it's interesting because we see him start out with that in this conversation and these hallucinations. He's the typical Oliver. You know, I need to make the hard call, and this is the hard call. And I think that's why the arrow to her stomach, again, before they showed the team.
Yeah.
The arrow to her stomach was shocking because it was like, I thought he was going to make the other, you know, call. But showing that, I guess we did learn a lesson. I mean, at that point, because if he goes that route of killing her, does it start him down that,
well,
that path?
Yeah, and I think, you know, what Tommy's trying to show is that, all right, well, Oliver is kind of proof that people can change, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
And I still don't think Emiko is anything that should be redeemed.
She has no redeeming quality at this point, right?
To me, no. And I don't even know why they let her get away at the end there. Like, I just don't know why he's still, like, why it's my sister. Like, I still don't buy that at all. That there's nothing there, especially after she goes in and steals arrows and kills everybody in the police thing.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, they're definitely fucked now.
Totally fucked on that one, right? At least I feel.
You know, why would she come and steal arrows, you know? And her sister's so calculating and so angry at him for no reason.
No reason. Why? Why are you so angry?
You know, it's like a woman scorn type thing, or, you know, daddy didn't love me like he loved you scenario.
God.
And that's such a bad thing. I hope there's more to this.
There has to be more to it. If not, dude, it's going to be a travesty.
You know, not just trying to destroy the name of the father. I mean, you should have been happy with that. The Ninth Circle should be something bigger than a bunch of people.
Revenge.
For no reason.
Literally no reason. Revenge.
And I know it sounds weird because we just had that talk in Flash about not everybody needs to end the world. But I guess that I just don't buy like the revenge storyline against the dad that really didn't do anything. I mean, against the brother that really didn't do anything other than be the same seed out of the nutsack of the father. Like, right? Like,
no, I mean, you're right.
Cool. Yes. We were both strong swimmers out of our dad's balls. It's not my fault.
We were both the fastest.
Yay. We have that in common.
Yay.
High five.
Great job. Oh, God.
You know, you want the Ninth Circle to have a bigger
meaning. Yeah. I totally agree.
And honestly, I think I talked a little bit about it last week. I honestly believe that the Ninth Circle should have been around doing thuggery things from the beginning still, because even like the raid on the police station and all that other stuff, you believe that the Ninth Circle is a threat,
right?
More absolutely than anything we've had,
right? 100%.
So I almost believe that, you know, the better storyline this season would have been Ninth Circle going around collecting all these things for this weapon to destroy the city, and then Oliver trying to hunt it down, finding out that it's not Dante, it's Emiko, and then they're related. Because I don't understand why she would take on her brother's shield, let's call it, at the beginning.
Right.
You know?
I think ultimately going into the last episode and the season finale, she better have an actual reason why she's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this point, if she doesn't... It makes no sense. why are you trying to fight your brother on all of this when you already took out the person that was responsible for all your downside? I mean, Oliver was, I mean, he had nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
At all. And there's no like sins of the father type thing. I mean, he really had nothing to do with it. Like, he's not, is he guilty by association? I don't understand.
Yeah, again,
like,
guilty because I'm a strong swimmer.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense, man. I think at this point, like, if we're going into the final season here, or final episode, we've got to have some sort of reasoning why she's doing what she's doing. There's got to be some kind of big reveal.
Because you think about how the Night Circle was set up, you know.
Right.
Dante, this big international organization that was smuggling money. Argus was after him. It just doesn't seem like a faction that would just be after one person.
It doesn't. Why would something that's so huge like this be after Oliver?
Yeah.
It has to be a personal vendetta, but then again, why? I know we could beat this dead horse all day long, but
yeah,
like, but
yeah, we're going to have to get the why in the next 42 minutes.
Absolutely. 100%.
Because the why that's there now doesn't make sense.
Makes no fucking sense.
You know, because again, I will buy the whole, I put on the Green Arrow to try to find the killer of my mother. You know,
I buy that.
I bought that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But then it's just like, why would I put on again, the shield, the skin of my brother just to try to like, and it wasn't even to ruin his life at the beginning. You know, I would almost see that too, running around as a secondary Green Arrow causing chaos to make the police not want to believe him as being freed and reformed.
Right. I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's a tough one to try to wrap up for it to make sense. Again, with the dual storylines going on, and I mean, again, I said my piece in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, on how it would work, but it's too late. It's not gonna like magically switch. We're not gonna get all that time back.
Nope.
And it's hard for me to believe that the first 10 episodes, the prison episodes, you know, were this season.
Yeah.
Because they were so good. And that now the storyline is so weird for me that I don't know if there's gonna be an actual payoff.
I just don't know what they do in this last episode to like you said, to make me go, oh shit.
Yeah, and unfortunately it's also an issue because now 0.64 was the lowest rated Arrow ever. And this week was 0.61.
Oh.
So we're trending the wrong way going into a season finale.
We're going fucking backwards, dude.
Oh, obviously the convoluted storylines and all that aren't just us. Oh, it's the viewer, the average viewer, you know, that aren't buying into the bullshit. So it's sad.
It's incredibly sad. Incredibly sad.
And that's why we only have 10 episodes left, or 11.
Yeah. Anyways. All right, guys, that's going to do it for
today. No, get final thoughts of the episode.
Okay.
Because we're talking about the finale, but I think technically the episode wasn't horribly done, between the fight scenes and you know, Amiko just like revenge and the whole bringing Tommy back, like all that stuff was good. It could have been great again if I didn't have flash forwards, because then there would have been suspense of people not getting out of the building.
That's true.
Roy not dying in gas, you know, even if you were to show, like, I almost wish half of Roy's face was like scarred.
Yeah.
Because I think we talked about that a little bit with New Canary, and when we noticed her throat was slit the whole time, we're like, oh shit, it's like Hot Tub Time Machine when you're just waiting.
Is this it?
Yep.
Is
the dude's it? Arm's gonna go. Guy's arm's gonna
this
go.
This is it right here. This is the one.
Yep. Yep. McFly's gonna lose his arm right here.
McFly.
But they could have done that with Roy too, where it's just like, oh shit, this is how he gets his face torched.
Right.
But no, he's fine. He's just old.
I don't think this episode was really that bad. I mean, I told you when we walked into the studio, I thought, oh, this is actually pretty good. I think the ultimate, like you said, the problem was the the flash forward. It was the Achilles heel of the episode. We saw the downside to the whole flash forward season. There was no suspense. I mean, but as far as, like you said, the choreography was really good. The shots for the choreography were really good.
Yeah.
I thought they were.
In the use of the ninth circle as right. just faceless goons, there's nothing wrong. I don't think that's used enough in superhero things, though, where you look at like the Dark Knight Rises and stuff and like the Bane's militia. You know, it just it gives the power in numbers, and that's kind of what the ninth circle has become for Emiko, right. is that those faceless goons. We don't got to really worry about, oh, you know, the general or, you know, whoever getting killed or something else. It's like, no, we just keep running them out there like foot soldiers.
Yeah, they're henchmen. So, I mean, at the end of the day, dude, I thought the episode was good. I thought that, you know, there was a couple scenes. I mean, knowing that, watching the Diggle with the arrow,
because
we don't know what's going on with Diggle.
And yeah.
That one was like, oh my God, no way.
We still got to figure out what Bronze Tiger has something to do with this, yes, too.
Absolutely.
So we still have to see him come out next episode. Because if not, what was the point of Diggle adopting the son?
For the story.
Man, that's going to be disappointing.
Oh, God. I will be so
upset. I forgot about Bronze Tiger until you said Diggle. Future.
Yep. So we've got a lot, dude. We've got a lot going into it. I'm hoping some questions get answered, but I mean, we'll see. But I don't know, dude.
It's a lot to do in 42 minutes.
Lot. All right, guys. That's going to do it for today's DC on RMD Arrow Edition. You can always catch any past and future DC on RMD episodes on DCOnRMD.com. Follow us on our social medias to keep track of what we're doing and maybe some new shows that we've got coming out. But with that, guys, we'll see you for the season finale next week.
People want cuddles.